download the iHeart app and listen to Clay and Buck. I'm also, I've got a few interviews this week. I did a deep dive interview. By deep dive, 30 minutes. I can't do like 3 hour long deep dives yet. Maybe one day. But I sat down with Peter Schweitzer, and that's out. And he talks about, if you want to know everything about what happens, not just with China and the Bidens, but China and our elites in general, I talked to Peter about it. It was really, really interesting stuff. So that doesn't appear on the show. Only appears in the Clay and Buck podcast feed. Great listening for your weekend enjoyment. So, like I said, iHeart app, and please subscribe. We have right now Terry in Pennsylvania. What's going on, Terry?
Well, Buck, I was in the Coast Guard back in 70 to 73 on Long Island Sound, and that the Jaws movie came out sometime in 72, and once it came out, we would ride up the Sound on our boats, and there'd be 1,000 people on the beach and absolutely nobody in the water.
Wow, you're saying people were that terrified after that movie came out of going in the water?
Yeah, they were afraid to.
I mean, you know, I do think, thank you, Terry. I do think you got to play the odds. If you really start to look at, if you start to look at the odds of being attacked by any animal, you know, fatally or otherwise, it's very, most animals, very few exceptions, just want to be left alone. Including even large predatory sharks. They want to go after seals, which have a much higher, well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I probably taste as good as a seal. I got to lay off the Doritos. But the very high fat content of the seal is something that the great whites like a lot, for example. So they're not really looking for us. We humans tend to be kind of bony. Yep. Cliff in, oh, no, that was Cliff. Wait, no, we got Cliff in Pennsylvania. What's going on?
Yeah, so that summer that Jaws came out, I got to agree with Terry on everything. People were scared to death. I worked that summer at a hotel in Wildwood, New Jersey, on the beach, and I was given tips by just about everybody that came there. Every single one of them wanted to know two things: the weather and where are the sharks.
Wow. Well, there you go. So the mind is a thank you for calling in, Cliff. The mind is a remarkable thing. Can play tricks on you. And as I sit here saying, yeah, go in the ocean. I don't know. I did see manatees from my window today, and that always makes me happy. So manatees, they're the cuddly cows of the sea. So there's lots of nice sea creatures out there, too. I don't want to get angry emails from the marine biologists all weekend. Thanks for hanging with us, team. Clay and I'll be back with you on Monday. Have a really a blessed and reflective Memorial Day weekend. And let's all think about those who served and what they did and those who gave their lives for this country.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Mike Lindell's introducing the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the original MyPillow, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's using new technology to make the pillow even better.
The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now has brand new exclusive fabric that is made with temperature-regulating thread.
The MyPillow 2.0 is available at a great value right now. Buy one, get one free for a limited time with promo code Clay and Buck. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. The pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Special Square, and you'll get this buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. Enter promo code Clay and Buck. Or call 800-792-3269 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now.
When was the last time you watched your home movies? Do you have a VCR anymore? What about a film projector?
With technology constantly changing, most families don't have a way to enjoy their recorded memories, trapped on VHS, camcorder tapes, film reels, and photos.
That's why we created Legacy Box over a decade ago. Legacy Box is an affordable mailed-in kit to have your aging media digitized to DVD, thumb drive, or the cloud. our trained technicians digitize everything by hand right here in the U.S.
Imagine being able to easily relive weddings, graduations, baby's first steps, and more. Get started future-proofing your memories today so you can gather the whole family together and begin the trip down memory lane. Plus, for a limited time, we're offering a special sale.
Go to legacybox.com/clayandbuck to get an incredible deal. Buy today to take advantage of this limited offer. Go to legacybox.com/clayandbuck. Legacybox.com/clayandbuck.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Memorial Day, a solemn day of remembrance and a day filled with sales, barbecues, and travel.
Memorial Day is supposed to be about mourning the nation's fallen military service members. But it also kicks off summer travel season, super sales on everything from mattresses to lawnmowers, and months of barbecuing. The nation first observed what was then called Decoration Day on May 30, 1868, after Civil War veterans called for decorating war graves with flowers. But just over 100 years later, Time magazine said the holiday had become a three-day nationwide hootenanny that seems to have lost much of its original purpose. I'm Rita Foley.
Also at townhall.com, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says negotiators are racing to reach a debt ceiling deal.
We know it's a crunch time. We know it's not easy, but we're going to make sure we're not just trying to get an agreement. We're trying to get something that's worthy of the American people, that changes the trajectory. So we're going to work just as hard. We worked through the night last night. I thought we made progress yesterday. I want to make progress again today, and I want to be able to solve this problem.
Despite the progress, McCarthy says there's still more work to do. Negotiators racing for agreement this weekend. As soon as June 1st, the Treasury says it could run short of funds to pay the nation's bills. Residents of Guam are cleaning up after Typhoon Mawar tore through the remote U.S. Pacific territory, ripping roofs off homes, flipping vehicles, and shredding trees. Officials say there were minor injuries reported, but there were no fatalities. The typhoon, the strongest to hit the territory of roughly 150,000 people since 2002. On Wall Street, the Dow ahead 332 points, the NASDAQ up 280. More at townhall.com.
People ask me sometimes, Lance, I'm worried about my finances and I feel bad because I shouldn't be worried, right? I realize that inflation is going to be eating up money. I've got to do something to get around this crazy stock market and Biden's spending spree. Gold has, since the beginning of time, been the resource that God's people have relied on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, is what the prophet Haggai said during a time of great shaking. To protect your retirement, I recommend that you diversify your 401k or IRA right out of paper assets and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with Gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. I want you to text the words FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898. And get a free info kit on gold IRAs. There's no strings attached to this, so just text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and see what I've discovered here about gold and its ability to stabilize your investment and create a storage of wealth for you in unstable.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
It's 12:04. This is your KMCQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. The Oakland A's relocation plans to Las Vegas could be as approved as early as next month, well ahead of the league's deadline of December of this year. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred says if the A's public funding deal for the stadium gets approved by the state legislature and signed by Governor Lombardo, baseball owners could vote on the team's planned move to Southern Nevada at its June meeting. The Major League Baseball owners meeting is scheduled for June 13th through the 15th in New York. State lawmakers have struck a deal with the A's, which would provide up to $380 million in public money to help build the stadium's planned ballpark on the Strip. The public money would include $185 million from the state in transferable tax credits. Clark County would then throw in $150 million, with most of it in the form of a bond issue, which would be repaid from a tax district, which is set up around the proposed Tropicana Las Vegas Stadium site. The A Stadium would cover 9 acres of the 35-acre site on the southeast corner of Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. If you're going to be traveling this weekend, you're not alone. AAA estimates 42 million of us are going to be traveling. That's a 7% increase over a year ago, Memorial Day weekend.
KMCQ on-time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, watch for some right shoulder activity there on the Southern Beltway, 215 eastbound at the airport connector. Those construction projects are causing a little bit of congestion on the 15 both directions right now, northbound at Hacienda and southbound at Spring Mountain. Now stay tuned for the best of Kevin Wall and Live and Local.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act, to save our country, and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is Live and Local. Great to have you with us. Always good to have Megan Barth on to kick off the show. And she joins us from Carson City. She is the editor-in-chief of the NevadaGlobe.com from ReaganBabe.com. Megan, how was your weekend? You getting ready for Memorial Day now?
I am getting ready for Memorial Day. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend up here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Outstanding. We are into week 16 of the 82nd Nevada legislature, 13 days to go before Sine die. And I guess it's starting to get crazier and crazier. You folks were writing about sex change surgery on children funded by taxpayers and that it is moving through the legislature. Where are we in the process of this particular bill?
Well, today it'll be heard in front of the Senate Finance Committee. The meeting started at 8 o'clock this morning, but there were other bills that they heard, and then they had a break for chamber meetings. So we expect this bill to be heard sometime today. in the Senate Finance Committee.
Who is behind this bill?
Well, it would be the Nevada Squad, as I refer to them, and that would be Melanie Schleibel, Dallas Harris, and Pat Spearman, and they make up the LGBTQIA+++ caucus that debuted at the legislature this legislative session, and these are the main sponsors of this bill. This bill is, I guess, for lack of a better word, insane, because really what this is a growing trend of Democrats supporting medical experiments on children. And that's exactly what this gender-affirming care is. It is medical experiments on children. This bill would cover treatments. And this bill would actually force Medicaid and health insurance companies to cover treatments, including sex change surgery, relating to gender dysphoria and gender incongruence for minors less than 18 years of age. Now, if the minors have been showing, and this comes from the bill language, a quote-unquote strong desire to be or to be treated as the opposite gender assigned to them by birth, and they only demonstrate this strong desire for 6 months, their voice therapists, their social workers, and other quote-unquote medical diagnosticians can refer them to treatments such as mastectomies, which would be double mastectomies, vaginoplasties and phalloplasties, which basically phalloplasty is the removal of a penis and then, of course, the creation of a non-functioning vagina.
And what are the prospects of passage? Does this have, I'm assuming this will not have bipartisan support.
I would assume not. I do not believe that the Republicans are going to rally behind this bill. The Republicans are focused on educational reforms, which include opportunity scholarships, school choice, the funding of education, school safety initiatives, things that are important to the vast majority of Nevadans, because the vast majority of Nevadans elected Joe Lombardo. And not a vast majority of Nevadans elected these senators. And so what we have are these, you know, social justice, transgender justice bills flying through the legislature, while the bills that are really important to Nevadans and are supported by a majority of Nevadans either fail to have hearings or are just largely obstructed by the Democratic majority.
The governor, has he weighed in yet on this bill involving the sex change operations?
No, he has not, but that's not unusual. Governor Lombardo has remained pretty tight-lipped on legislation that goes through the legislature. He hasn't remained tight-lipped, however, on legislation that's not going through the legislature, and that is specific to his five or six proposals ranging from election integrity to education reforms. Because the Democrats have either largely dismissed, obstructed, or ignored his proposals, the governor has now threatened to veto the state budget. And in doing so, that would usher in a special legislative session. Now, my sources, I always say on the Hill, even though it's not on a Hill, but in Carson City, tell me that the governor was going to wait a few days after Steen died to call for a special session, but the Democrats were furiously making trips out of town so they wouldn't be in town, and the governor then would be handicapped by calling a special session. So what I believe is going to happen is that on or near the last day of the legislative session, the governor will call for a special session by vetoing the state budget.
And what happens when he does veto the state budget? What, I mean, are there any ramifications similar to the debt ceiling stuff that they're talking about in Washington?
Well, what will happen is that the governor then will set the legislative priorities for the special session, which will be immediately convene. I don't even know, honestly, if this is my first session of the legislature. I don't know if that special session will go immediately thereafter, the day after. I assume that it might be that case. And the state budget is a biennium budget, so nothing necessarily is interrupted in the state budget veto. So, there will still be operations running. The special legislative session, I believe, would be about 30 days. And then the bills that the governor pushes through during that special legislation, including the budget, would then be signed or dismissed by the Democratic majority.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. The education bills, 330 and 400, are they buried somewhere or are they in the process?
Well, 400 has been just obstructed by the Democrats. I believe that 400 received one hearing. And during that hearing, the Nevada Democratic chairwoman, Assemblywoman Danielle Monroe Moreno, was famously quoted as saying she wishes she could legislate what parents do with their children. Steve Yeager has repeatedly retweeted the extreme left Battleborn Progress Twitter account, which calls opportunity scholarships voucher scams. And so the Democrats have shown absolutely no interest in expanding school choice or even providing school choice to families in failing school districts. They want to keep them trapped in publicly funded indoctrination centers, otherwise known as public schools. Assembly Bill 330 did receive a floor vote. And what's surprising about that floor vote is that a majority of Democrats crossed party lines and joined Republicans in passing that governor's proposal. And it was, I think, a 38-4 vote with four Democrats siding with Democrats, voting against AB 330. But Nicole Cannizzaro hasn't brought, Democrat leader of the Senate, hasn't brought that to the Senate floor to be heard by the Senate. Now Nicole Cannizzaro is out with her second pregnancy, or childbirth, rather. She gave birth to another child during the session. So she's out for a few days on maternity leave. So we don't know if 330 will even see the Senate floor. 330 was supposed to be heard last week in a special committee meeting related to school safety, and they heard a Democratic bill, I think it was AB 285, and I got a call from someone near and dear to the governor's office and said, you won't believe what they're doing, but they're gutting their own bill in school safety. I'm like, what? So I got a little more information, and I wrote about it, and Democrats were basically, in order to preserve restorative justice, even though it's been an experiment that has absolutely failed and violence has skyrocketed in our public school system since they passed that in 2019, with some bipartisan support, I must note. This restorative justice experiment is a complete and utter failure, much like the social justice experiment and the gender justice experiment and the transgender justice experiment. All these experiments, these Marxist experiments, are abject failures, but the Democrats can't swallow their own failure or admit or take account of their own failures in these restorative justice measures, and are trying their damnedest to save restorative justice in the public school system. So they were gutting their own bill. They refused to even adopt 330 into their amendments of AB 285, and now AB 330 just sits in limbo.
Tell me what happens in the state Senate. We now have 13 days to go, and Nicole Cannizzaro is out on maternity leave. We don't know. Do we know how long she's going to be out?
I heard 4 days, but I have absolutely no idea.
Okay. This
is her second legislative session where she's given birth. I'm like, can't your husband and you kind of plan this a little bit better? Maybe she plans it accordingly. I don't know.
I want to ask
but
you about
it. She did keep the baby. She could have aborted the baby at 6 months, but she did keep it.
There you go. There you go. Let me just ask you. Cannabis has been on the docket. Yeah. And I'm trying to think. Is it SB 277?
That sounds right. It's either 277 or 276. I think it's 277. I'd have to go look at the article. But I'm proud to announce that we do have a cannabis reporter. And it's an industry that has burgeoned since the passage of both medical and recreational marijuana to a point where it brings in billions of dollars of revenue to the state. It's just around a $1 billion industry. And what's interesting is this industry is largely misunderstood and underreported. Especially by me. And so I found a lawyer who covered cannabis quite extensively, and she was willing to write. She's a fantastic writer. Her name is Sears, Kira Sears, S-E-A-R-S. And she exposes that this Cannabis Compliance Board that was set up by Governor Steve Sisolak determines what the quote-unquote fair market value of, let's say, a pound of marijuana is. Well, they use a formula that's literally causing small growers, small cannabis growers, to go bankrupt because they aren't selling a pound for the amount of the fair market value that's established by the compliance board. Now, another interesting note to this Cannabis Compliance Board is that there's only one Lombardo appointee on the board out of five. So I've been hearing that Governor Lombardo has not necessarily been appointing a lot of people to these boards or forcing the resignation of prior appointees under Governor Sisolak, and he's kind of waiting for their appointment to expire before assigning his own people. I don't necessarily agree with that tactic. I think a new administration calls for new appointments, new leadership. And so I think some of the leftover appointees have some interesting, what I would consider, conflicts of interest in running some of these boards, specifically the Cannabis Compliance Board.
Again, Megan Buff joining us, editor-in-chief of the NevadaGlobe.com. Interesting article as Democrats promise further negotiations on the governor's education reforms. My question is, What kind of negotiations? Are these going to be real negotiations or kind of my way or the highway?
Yes, the latter. I would assume they have to be the latter because you can only go by what they've said and the actions they've taken. They've called opportunity scholarships voucher scams. They wish they could regulate what people do with their children. Well, they actually do by forcing the Democrats have controlled the legislature for years. They control they are basically puppets of the National Education Association. And so what they've done through this public education system is force parents to send their kids to a school in the zip code, in their zip code, no matter if the school is an abject failure. So, and that's through policy. They could easily change that policy if they would adopt AB 400 and allow these parents the opportunity to move their kids out of a failing school district, no matter their zip code. And this affects the most impoverished areas that the Democrats control, meaning this failed education system is predominantly found in Democratic areas with a high concentration or population of black and brown students. And on average, over half of black and brown students, over 70% of black and brown students are failing math, they're failing English, and they're basically failing school, but passing because, God forbid, we have a fair and just and honest and transparent grading system, especially in Clark County.
And all this against the backdrop of the teachers union here in Clark County. The teachers union is demanding the resignation of Jesus Jara. Has there been any fallout?
The teachers union in Clark County actually came out in support of Governor Lombardi.